Thank you for that good singing this morning, and the Lord is always good to us, and I love that song. There's power in the blood. It's through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. It's through His power and His cleansing of us that we walk in victory, and that we walk by faith, and we experience the life that God has intended for us. If you would, stand with me this morning. The children may be dismissed at this time to children's church, and as they're going, I failed to mention earlier, since this week is spring break, there's not a children's program Wednesday night. The children's program is out when the school is out, and so there's no meal this Wednesday night as well. Just make note of that, and then we'll pick that back up next week. Not this week, but next week. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be talking about walking in purity this morning. And the only way we walk in purity is because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that changes us and makes us new and cleanses us. And He teaches us how not to walk the way we once did. We're going to start in verse 1. Get a running start into this. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints." You know, the Bible calls you saints. You're not a saint after you die. You're a saint when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been washed. You've been made pure. You've been made holy in Him. So He says, walk according to the fact that you are saints. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And He goes on from there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word once more. We thank You for how it instructs and teaches us. We thank You for how it reveals Yourself. And Lord, we come this morning before Your word. We ask that You would search us, search our hearts through Your word this morning, that You would teach our hearts to follow You, and that You would teach us to walk in victory and in genuine love and in purity, even as Your word says. We praise You. We thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because of Him that we live and move and have our being. And so we just thank You for Him. We praise You for Him. We ask that You would empower me to preach this morning. You would enable us to listen and to hear Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, to a community that he knows well at this point. He had been there for some years. We've talked about that in the past. He had been there for nearly 3 years, and he had ministered among them. But while he was there, he got to know their culture pretty well. And their culture was one much like many of the cultures in Rome surrounding the Roman world. This was in what is now Turkey in Asia Minor is where Ephesus was. But much of that world was controlled by the worship of false idols, false gods. And Ephesus had a false god, a goddess, actually. Diana was her Roman name. And so as a false god, she was the goddess of both fertility and childbirth. And with the worship of this false god came a lot of just sexual perversity that went along with it. the way that man's heart worked in that culture, the way that it's worked ever since the beginning, is we see something we don't have, we desire it, we covet it, and in our fallen nature we seek to gain it, and we make gods for ourselves that will excuse our sin. And so Paul's writing to this culture, he's saying, don't partake in it, don't go along with it, don't have anything to do with it. And he is firm on this. And we have to get this down now, because we live in a culture today that is much like the culture back then, that wants to excuse and accept sin even among believers. And so Paul's writing, and he's writing very strongly to say, listen, this is not to be among you. This is not to be characterizing you. He gives two different illustrations. I want to illustrate it like this. It's like he takes a coin and he holds it up and he says, this is what you are to be. And on the backside, this is what you are to not be. He says, first of all, that you are to walk in love. If you're going to have a pure walk, you need to walk in genuine love. And he defines love for us. Our world has a problem defining love today, doesn't it? Love is whatever makes you feel good, is pretty much how love goes. Whatever your heart desires, whatever you desire to do, whatever makes you happy, that's love. And so Paul says, no, that's not love. Genuine love, pure love, is defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's defined by a sacrificial giving. Look with me in verse 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us. That's genuine love. Greater love has no man than this, Jesus said, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he said, you are my friends, if you do what I've commanded you, which was to follow him. The greatest love is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself for us. The world doesn't seek that kind of love. The world seeks after self-love. And so he shows us the pure love that we are to pursue as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're to walk in his love for us, and then we're to exemplify to the world around us. He turns from that and he says, but look at the world around you. This is not what love is. And he names it. He says fornication. Fornication is any sexual sin. It's porneia, from the word we get pornography. And it's every kind of sexual sin that there is out there. You name it. It's encapsulated in this word. Whether it be adultery, sex before marriage, homosexuality, incest, any kind of sexual sin is encapsulated in this word. He says, fornication, all uncleanness. Uncleanness is impure thoughts and desires that arise from lust. He says, don't have anything to do with that. But then he throws in another one here. And at first, as you're reading through this, you think, well, he names these two, and they're dealing with our passions and our sexual desires. But then he says something about covetousness. Paul, why do you throw covetousness in the midst of these other two? Well, what he's doing is he's talking about issues of passion, issues of the heart. He's saying covetousness is that desire to gain and acquire that which I don't have, that just can't ever be satisfied. It's me looking over here and saying, I somebody else has this. I have to have that to be happy. And the minute you get it, there's something else you got to go pursue. You know this about yourself. I know it about myself. Has there ever been anything that you just wanted, you just had to have, and you spent all your time trying to accomplish and acquire that? When I was a boy, I think I've shared this before, but I'll share it again because some of you may not have heard it. When I was a boy, I used to like collecting baseball cards. And I loved baseball cards. And what I, back then, my thought was, well, one day these will become really, really, they'll be worth a lot of money one day. And besides, I like looking at the players that are on them. And so I wanted to just acquire all these baseball cards. Well, I had my heart set on the 1993 series of Upper Deck baseball cards. Nothing wrong with baseball cards, by the way. But my heart was set on acquiring this set. And it came in two series. They released it in such a way that there was series one and series two. And the first set came out in like January or February. The next set came out middle of the year. And they each cost $40. Well, for a boy of about 13 years old, $40, okay, I had to go mow some lawns. I had to work hard and acquire that. And my desire was, every time I was mowing lawns, I was thinking about, okay, if I can just get a little bit more money, I can pay for this set of baseball cards. And I remember the day came when I went in there and I bought them and I opened them up. They came in this white box real long and I opened them up and I took them out and I smelled the smell, you know, and it just, that fresh smell of fresh cut cardboard laminated and, you know, it's just thrilling. And I opened them up and I went through and I looked through every one of them. And then I took them out and I carefully placed them in these plastic protection holders and kept them there. And that way I could flip through and see them. And I flipped through them a couple of times. And after about the second time of flipping through them, you know, I was real excited at first. Second time of flipping through them, suddenly I started thinking, it says to be continued. I don't have the other set. The other set comes out in a few months. I've got to start working to get that other set. Pretty soon, this set no longer satisfied me. It didn't satisfy me for very long before I started turning over here. I had to have the next set and the next set. And my heart was always set on getting the next thing. That's the source of greed and covetousness. Always trying to acquire more and more, but never being fully satisfied. Because you can't be satisfied when that's your focus. That's self-love. Paul says, don't let it be named once among you, as is fitting for saints. He says, not only your passions, but also your speech needs to be different. Look with me in verse 4. He says, neither filthiness, that's filthy talking, nor foolish talking. That's just babbling on about stuff that doesn't even matter. Like what it really comes from is like two drunk people sitting down. I heard a story this week. Two guys went in a bar. You didn't think you're going to get a bar joke at church, did you? Two guys went in a bar and they were sitting down next to each other. This was in Ireland, being St. Patrick's Day. And one guy looked at the other. He says, "You look real familiar." After a few rounds, he says, "You look familiar too. Where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from old Ireland." He says, "Oh, I am too." And they, "Well, what town are you from?" He says, he named the town Dublin or whatever. And he said, "Really? I'm from Dublin too. Well, what street are you from?" And they apparently from the same street. "Well, what school did you go to? What year?" Come to find out, they've been in the same school, the same place all this time, right? The bartender walked away and said, "It's going to be a long night. The O'Malley twins are already drunk." Just foolish babbling, going on and on without sensibility. That's what Paul says. Don't let that be named among you. Or coarse jesting, coarse talk, talk that has to appeal to the lowest levels to get a laugh. He says, that's not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Paul here gives us different, and then he goes on and he says, listen, no person who partakes in any of this, who makes a lifestyle of partaking in it, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What he's saying is that if you have a life that is characterized by these things, what you have a sign of is an unredeemed life. You have a sign of a life that has not been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And he says, look, if your life is characterized by that, no matter what you profess, you believe, if there's not been a repentance and a change on the inside, watch out. He's warning them. Watch out. You say, but Brother Nathan, I thought you were, once you were saved, you're always saved. Absolutely, yes and amen. That's what Paul says in Ephesians in this very book. Once you are sealed with the Spirit of God, you are eternally saved and secure. What he's doing here is he's warning against false belief. He's warning against this idea that, okay, I can ask Jesus to save me, then I could go on living my life the way I want to live it and do what I want. Sentences. I, me. That's a life where self is still on the throne and has not been surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a life that has not repented of their sin and turned to God in faith. That's a life that has not recognized their need for a Savior. So he warns them in the strongest terms possible. Listen, if any person is a covetous man, what that shows is that their heart is still an idol factory. That shows that they are setting up for themselves idols that will let them do whatever they want to do to please themselves. Really, their own self is their God. That's what he's saying. He says, don't have anything to do with that. Now, I've got to warn you too. Because he says in verse 6, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't partake with them in that. Don't go along with them in that. If you find yourself pulled by the world, there's one of two possibilities. If you find yourself, we all find ourselves pulled by the world every day. One of them is you're a believer struggling against the world. That's probably the possibility, point number one. But if you find yourself constantly falling into sin and making it a habit of living in sin with no desire whatsoever to get out of sin, no desire whatsoever to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, watch out. You may think you're saved, but Paul says, examine yourself. Say, Lord, have I truly repented? Do I truly desire you? Watch out. And I plead with you here, if you see in your own life, look, I'm always, now I'm not talking about just the daily going along the way and you stumble into sin, but if your heart is, I always want to pursue what is evil and not what is righteous, something's wrong. That's what Paul's saying. Something's not lining up. And you need to say, Lord, have I turned to you? Now, if your heart is this, that yes, I sin, but Lord, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. If that's your heart and you saying, Lord, yes, I sin, but I don't want to sin. I want to glorify you in all that I do and say and in my manner of speaking. That's not a sign of unbelief. That's not a sign of lack of salvation. That's a sign of God working on your heart as a believer. You get where I'm coming from. You with me? Okay. You respond to him. Now, how do you overcome these things? He lists all these things. I want to give you three ways that Paul mentions here. The first two, really quick, and then the third one we'll touch on more next week. Three things Paul mentions here to overcome the lusts of passion. He says, first of all, walk in genuine love. How do you overcome lusts of passion and covetousness and that pull from the world? You walk in genuine love. First of all, I want to illustrate it this way. I need a volunteer. All right, Ron. You're volunteered by Lisa. Come on up here. Okay. Ron, let's say this down here. Is the world. I'm sorry, y'all. Don't get offended. This down here is the world, all right? Up here is the walk of faith in light and life. What I want you to do is I want you to walk from this side of the room to that side of the room on this little ledge right here. Now, you can do it, right? He's doing it fine. Well, you make your choice. No, don't walk on the wood. Okay. All right. Little detour. Okay. Now you're back on the path. Okay. Good job, Ron. All right. Stay right here with me. The Bible says this. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. So often in the Christian life, what we focus on is the things that we are not supposed to do, okay? We're not supposed to be pulled down into the world. We're not supposed to go this way. And so we walk right here on this ledge, and you can do it. Just avoiding all these things out here, okay? But eventually, you're going to find yourself stumbling and coming around and walking over here and just avoiding. The reason is your focus is, what's the world doing? What do I have to avoid? All right? Paul said in Romans, don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. If you want to walk in a way that pleases the Lord, what you do is you get your focus off over here and you put your focus on what? On the Lord. You put your focus on Christ and you walk this way. And guess what? It's a whole lot easier. I can go a whole lot faster walking this way when I'm over on this side than when I'm stepped down just trying to go in as a neutral form. Try it again, Ron. Yeah, you're hung out on the ledge. You sure can. Go ahead. Yeah. A little bit easier that way, isn't it? Your focus is over here. It's on pleasing the Lord. Your focus is over here. It's on avoiding the world. And what you do is you're in this kind of limbo state where you're always trying not to fall off. Get over here where you're focused on pleasing the Lord and walking with Him. Thank you, Ron. Well, stay up here with me now. So I want to give you two ways that you can put your focus on the Lord and walk in a way that pleases Him. Point number one, when He says walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us, what He's saying is look for ways where you can give yourself. First, give yourself to the Lord as an offering, as a sacrifice, just as Jesus offered Himself up as a sacrifice to the Father, pleasing and acceptable, the Bible says. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, each and every day, say, Lord, thank you for this day. How may I please you? How may I walk in fellowship with you today? How may I display your love to a world that needs it today? Walk in love. And in so doing, you'll walk in purity. You see the picture? Point number two. How do you avoid filthiness, foolish talking, and all that? He throws a little phrase in here, verse 4. Don't speak this way, but rather give thanks. Don't speak over here, but rather give thanks. Don't walk here on the ledge just trying not to do the wrong thing. Rather, turn your focus to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you this morning. When I get up, say, Lord, thank you this morning that you've given me breath, you've given me life. Thank you that I'm able to get out of bed. And Lord, I pray that I might magnify you in some way today. When you're tempted to focus upon the things that you don't have and your heart is pulled towards that covetousness, rather turn your focus to what He has given you and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, because it's far more than I deserve, and I'm going to rejoice in that today. Don't put your focus on what you don't have. And in so doing, you'll become children of light. You are already children of light. He's saying you'll walk in the light as He is in the light. As 1 John 1:7 says, walk in the light as He is in the light. You'll have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? The way you walk in purity is not by focusing on what I shouldn't be doing. Yes, don't do those things. The way you walk in purity is you turn towards the pure one. And you follow after Him. I want to show you one more verse. We'll talk about this next week. Verse 10 says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It has the idea of pursuing what pleases God. You want to walk a pure life, what you do is you say, I want to make it my purpose that when I go to work, when I go to school, When I'm out in the community, I want to pursue what pleases God. I want to please God today. I want to please God right now at this moment. I want him to be satisfied. You say, but I thought he couldn't be satisfied with our works. Yeah, for salvation, none of your works can satisfy God. Absolutely. But once you're saved, your works have become sanctified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved by your works. It says, Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 and 10, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Once you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. He's reworking you. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works that he's created. In other words, what Paul's saying is, look, Christian, God has a path for you to walk already. Discover it, walk in it, rejoice in it, thank him for it. And in so doing, you'll be pleasing to him. He's got a purpose for you today. He's got a purpose for you tomorrow. And you want to walk in accordance with it for his praise and his glory. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? There's a severe warning in this passage to anyone who thinks that their life is saved, their soul is saved, but in their heart, they don't desire at all the things of God. They just want God to pass over them and let me go on my way. But they don't have any desire whatsoever to know God, to fellowship with him. Paul says, listen, be warned. Turn from that. That's still a heart that's unredeemed. That's still a heart that says, I want what I want, not what he wants. Repent, Paul says, and turn from it. But the wonderful truth of the gospel is that whosoever confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's your Lord, he's your Savior, and believes in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that's you this morning, I would love to share with you and pray with you and show you how you can know God and walk in purity, walk in love, walk in thanksgiving, and walk in joy. If you're here this morning as a believer in Christ and you say, Brother Nathan, I've been on that ledge for a long time. Yes, I don't want to do the things of the world, but my problem is I'm always focused on what I shouldn't be doing. Turn your focus to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, help me to see what you want me to do to please you, to walk in your path for me today. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. And try this tomorrow morning, O Christian. Get up tomorrow and let the first words out of your mouth be thanksgiving to God.